Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.
Chameleon is quite the jumping bean. Aren't you, Chameleon?
Woo!
That's Sorry. So loud.
Is that loud?
That is so loud.
Sorry about that. Welcome.
You got to lower your volume, please.
Welcome.
Blow my eardrums over here.
Welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a great show for you today.
That's right, strangechameleonshow.com. Follow us on iTunes.
We have a guest, Pamela Clay, with husband Bruce Bermudez. They're both, she's a singer, songwriter. He's a musician and singer as well. And They're both in a band, Catahoula. And they'll be joining us shortly. We're going to have some fun times with them. They're great to hang out with.
Yes.
Well, Chameleon, how was your week?
It was pretty good.
It's a beautiful day today. It's a beautiful
yeah,
afternoon.
Yeah, it was raining a little bit, and then the clouds separated,
out.
And the sun is out to say hello. Hello.
You need a glass of water there?
I do.
Well, Chameleon, what were you doing Monday night?
What was I doing? Hold on here.
Chameleon. This is what happens when you get a reptile out of underneath a rock.
How dare you?
Come on.
Well, downtown LA, last week we did quite the little report on downtown LA of all the funny little things that have been happening. And so it turns out Monday there was a military drill. And no one knew about it. It was a shock to all the citizens, everyone in the area. There were just Hawk helicopters, Black Hawk helicopters flying down below. One even landed on Wilshire Boulevard. Just complete, yes, there were also boom sounds that sounded like an explosion was going on.
People thought there was a war happening just right outside their
apartment.
The
city was under attack. I mean, I feel so bad for the children that had school the next day.
Yeah, traumatized.
It's really scary. I feel bad for the kids.
Yeah, and I just don't get it. And they didn't even let us know.
Yeah, it was all a shock. It happened in the middle of the night or so, late at night. No one knew anything. And it's just interesting how all these things are happening. Okay, it happened in downtown, and then it was scheduled to happen again later that week, this week. Then, just a few days ago, I heard on the news about this typhus outbreak in City Hall.
Tell me more about that.
So, because of the homelessness population in downtown LA, there are now fleas that have infested City Hall. There's roaches. There are all sorts of bugs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And people have been getting sick. There's a video online of a councilwoman just in several employees scurrying from a mouse. There's a mouse and they're screaming. There's a mouse in the office and they're screaming and the mouse is freaked out himself. And the mouse is running for its life. And it just reminded me so much of, you know, I'm thinking the mouse is scared too because you're all screaming at the top of your lungs like maniacs. I mean,
right.
It's it reminded me of the song Ben with Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, Ben, yeah.
Yeah, poor little mouse, doesn't have a friend.
That's how the song got created. It was his only friend, really, that kind of
so
understood
sad.
Yeah.
So sad. He was such a heartfelt artist, you know? We'll always miss Michael Jackson. It's unfortunate that he passed away so early.
It is. I was going to help you find it. If you don't need it, then all right.
Find what?
Your favorite song so we can play it, but it's fine.
It's not my favorite song.
It is now.
But you know what's worse than coming across a mouse at City Hall at your little office? If you work in a medical building. Because that's exactly what happened when I was working at a medical building.
Really?
Yeah. In MacArthur Park, figures.
Oh, geez. Yeah, figures.
Yeah, there was a mouse there, and it was near the lab that they had with all the specimens and such. It was such a dirt hole medical building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's you really don't know what goes on when you go in for your checkup. There's a lot that happens. And medical staff don't always do a great job cleaning up after themselves. You know what I mean?
No, I do. Yeah, I mean, they really don't. I mean, last time, if you believe it or not, I had surgery not too long ago.
If I believe it or not.
Believe it or not, I had some surgery done. And the guy wasn't going to use gloves, and he was going under surgery. He wasn't going to use any gloves, so it just shows like
how unsanitary. How would you know that he wasn't going to use any gloves and he was going under surgery?
Because I was just about to be passed out under anesthesia.
Anesthesia? Anesthesia?
Anesthesia was going to take me out.
What was anesthesia doing there?
You know what? Only God knows. And you know what? I was going to be under anesthetics. Basically, they're going to put me out.
Yeah, okay.
And I was going to, and then he was like, all right. And I was like, aren't you going to wear any gloves and what do all it? This process? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
my gosh. You're kidding.
On. Yeah, okay, sure. But it's okay. Goodness. It's like, no, I'd rather you use gloves, sir.
That is so disgusting on his part. Wow.
Yeah, pretty gross. So but gross. I believe you. Sometimes they're not very sanitary. They're not even very clean.
Yeah, because they're so used to just seeing a bunch of people. They don't use gloves, and then that's how staff infections are through the roof, and you know, hospitals and all that is just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
What a conundrum. But Subaru, Tesla, BMW, Volkswagen, Daimler vans, I don't know if I pronounced that right, Mercedes and Ferrari are recalling about 1.7 million vehicles to replace potentially deadly airbag inflators made by Takata Corp of Japan. So, you know, we've heard about this before, and apparently they use the chemical ammonium nitrate to create a small explosion to inflate the airbags, but the chemical deteriorates over time because of humidity and hot temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And the most dangerous inflators are in areas of the south along the Gulf of Mexico that have high humidity. So there's been reports of people dying because, you know, say you get in a small fender bender, that airbag will go off and shrapnel will crack you right in the skull.
Jeez.
Cut your face.
Oh, yeah.
Through the heart, whatever, wherever it goes.
Wherever it needs
and
to go,
people,
yeah.
And people have died as a result. That's, you know, it's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
So 1.7 million vehicles. And that includes, again, Subaru, Tesla, BMW, Volkswagen, Mercedes, Ferrari, and Daimler vans, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I don't know. Let me grab a see here.
Damn those vans.
Yeah, Daimlers.
But I hope that people can get that fixed. Stop messing with paper. Jeez.
Well, I thought you had a little something for me, but it's...
No, I don't have anything for you. Get your own.
All righty. Well...
What?
Interesting that you should mention that.
Why?
If I can make just a quick little review here, if you guys can
funny
see
funny how these two things have absolutely nothing in common.
It does.
But
it
go
does.
Ahead, chameleon.
You know, because shrapnel is very sharp and sharp-edged, and this guy is very sharp-dressed, sharp image.
Tell them what you're talking about.
So this is Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra.
So you're holding up a CD.
Yeah. Capitol Studio Sessions. Well, if you guys want to get this CD, it's amazing. I mean, I had no idea that he was a very good musician. I mean, he's a great actor, but I had no idea he was.
Yeah, he's the guy from.
He's underground doing this.
From Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, the original. That's right.
Yes, and Jurassic Park World.
Jurassic Park. I don't think Jurassic World.
Jurassic
but
Park.
It was the second Jurassic Park, yeah.
Yeah, that was Jurassic Park World.
Something like that. Something like that. But yeah, he was a continuance of that, the sequel of that. But yeah, great musician. I definitely recommend all the songs except number 5. And if you look on the back, you'll know why. All right, take a listen to that.
And it's jazz, right?
Ah, jazz. Yep.
What is it? Tell the people. Tell the people what is it.
Well, it's like a bebop jazz.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of like that.
Jazz. You were listening to it on the way to the studio.
Cantaloupe Island is my favorite one. I like that. Okay. A lot of people have covered that, but, you know, he does a really good job.
Nice.
So it's good stuff.
All right. So a little shout out for your boy.
That's right. Support.
Well, here's something that happened just yesterday. Okay. There is a new fight in town, and I don't mean UFC. What the heck are you doing, Chameleon? What is this nonsense?
There's no nonsense. Blame Smithers. Damn
Get it
Smithers.
Together, Smithers.
My goodness.
Ellen Page versus Chris Pratt.
Okay. Ellen Page, turn to the right. That's right. Gives an uppercut to Chris Pratt. All right, a couple swings to the left. He goes to the right. He stands there accepting it.
Well, apparently Chris Pratt was he was being interviewed. And then Ellen Page tweeted the following day, Saturday, "If you're a famous actor and you belong to an organization that hates a certain group of people, don't be surprised if someone simply wonders why it's not addressed. Being anti-LGBTQ is wrong. There aren't two sides. The damage it causes is severe. Full stop. Sending love to all." She tweeted that. But however, if she really cared to listen, she would understand that that church that Chris Pratt belongs to does welcome people of any background, including LGBTQ. So they do have their doors open, welcome them, to obviously hear them.
Yeah.
But you don't have to force anyone to believe a single doctrine. Not everyone likes it when you preach the word of God, who is peace, glory, and love. So, you know, I don't understand why she feels it's okay for someone to coerce Chris Pratt into accepting another systemic view. I think personally, when people police each other, it becomes a nation of spies and witch hunt trials. For example, I was raised Catholic. I have two people in the family who are gay. No one has excommunicated them or banned them.
That's good.
Also, my mother's best friend of many, many years, they grew up together. She's like her brother, was a gay man, and he was like a surrogate father to me. And I have nothing but great memories of him. So because when we're able to accept one another or love one another, regardless of our personal views, that's real love. That's true. Perhaps you should open the Bible and understand that true love is loving someone when it's not necessarily convenient to do. And it's actually biblical. Anyone can open their doors to someone they find qualified, but to open your heart to people you don't always agree with is true compassion, and that's true empathy. So I don't actually think she understands those two definitions in the tweet she posted. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that's my opinion.
What did Chris Pratt respond to all of this?
He didn't. He hasn't.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
He apparently he's taking it like a man. And with that, I will like to close this story with Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away.
Amen.
So I just wanted to wrap that story.
Yeah.
To just kind of reiterate what love is exactly, since she wants to send love to all, then let's truly send the definition of love to
That's
all,
right.
please. And now, a word from our sponsors. We weren't planning on doing that together, but Super Bowl was last week, and then the Grammys are tonight. So if you guys are going to have parties or there's a remnant of an after party and stains in the carpet, 3 rooms for $100.
Yeah, $99.
A plus. Total carpet cleaning.
Well, definitely. 3 rooms for $99. Great. Great price. Go ahead and go to aptotalcleaning@gmail.com and put SKS in the subject line. Receive over 50% off. Well, we do have 2 extraordinary guests coming in shortly. And I want you all to give a warm welcome. Hands up in the air. Woo! Wave them around like I just don't care. Pamela Clay.
Pamela Clay and Bruce
Bermudez. Welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show.
Yay. We are so happy to be here. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, joy. Oh, joy.
We are excited. We're thrilled. Bruce brought his guitar.
Yes, he
did. I was threatened if I didn't.
And what's so amazing about this guitar is he takes it out of the case.
Well,
played by Jose Feliciano, by Neil Diamond, by Neil Young.
Wow.
By
Neil Patrick Harris. No, yes, I'm just kidding.
That guy too. What a beautiful view.
Yes, yeah. It is beautiful. The sun is not out yet, so I'm glad you guys got to see this.
That's
we love
fantastic.
It.
Boy, the drugs you have to take to see things like that. I had some Wheaties this morning.
Yeah, those Wheaties, they'll get to you.
My brother used to eat Wheaties every single morning.
Well, I like them Wheaties myself.
And that's the...
Duke talking.
The whole grain, the whole wheat, right?
Yes, yes, okay. Exactly. It's
just
whole
making
wheat.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Just making sure.
And they call it Breakfast of Champions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, you guys have been together for a very, very long time.
Yes, we have.
Yes.
How long? Since before you were born. No, I don't know. let's see. We met in the summer of 91 because I answered an ad in the Music Connection. Mm-hmm. And basically, the moment I saw him, it wasn't... You know, the traditional what you hear, love at first sight, it was joy.
Oh,
I mean,
I
literally went, oh, my God, it's you. And I, you know, of course, I had to be chilled and professional and everything because it was an audition. But inside, it was just literally jumping for joy. I was so excited.
Well, that's nice.
I know.
And that's wonderful. The female version.
what is the male version?
The male version was, oh, my God, what a sexy, beautiful girl. And then it hit me, my manager was, we are all thinking about voices. So she started to sing, and I went, holy cats. And that's that was the end of that story. Aretha Franklin, Janis Joplin, and Adele all mixed together.
Yeah.
With her own...
twist kind of thing.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say that I've seen you guys... I want to say more than 3-4 times. Several times.
Several times.
Big fans
places.
Of you guys.
Yes, thank you.
And I haven't seen you guys mess up once. And that's, you know, that's good, though, because a lot of musicians will do something that it's, maybe they're not having the right day or something. You guys are professional all the time, and you just hit the mark, and that's... a true professional musicians, and I inspire as
a
musician myself.
I love what you do.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like, you know, not that, I mean, I definitely believe in God, but I don't necessarily say that one religion is better than another religion, but mm-hmm. I was definitely brought up Christian and definitely mm-hmm. believe in God. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I believe that. I think if you're going to do something, do it well or don't bother.
Right.
You
right.
know, because I'm sorry, you're wasting our time otherwise. You're wasting everybody's time.
Right. See, Bonnie and Clyde, they found their niche.
Mm, yeah.
What they did well. Right up until the end. It's a big mistake there.
You only get one chance to make a first impression. And whenever you're out performing live, you never know who's in the audience.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that, you know, some big shot's going to be in the audience. It's more that, again, God is watching, man, you
yeah.
know? And
oh,
it's like, you know, you could die in the next minute, or you could get hit by a bus. And then you'll be lying there in the hospital going, why did I ruin that chord? Whereas if you had really, you know, whereas if you had
thinking.
Really given it everything, it's like, you know, give it 100% or,
that's
don't,
right.
or don't bother.
Right. I mean, because it's a waste of a gift anyways. If a guy blessed you with a gift and you're just going to, you know, do
yeah.
it.
Phone it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it all the way, 100%.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Exactly, yeah.
Great
yeah.
message.
Well, when I started professional music, I was mm-hmm. 15 years old. Hmm. Working on Bourbon hmm. Street in the French Quarter in New Orleans for the Mafia.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And you better show up on time,
oh.
and you better sing on pitch.
Oh, shoot.
It gives a lot of incentive to do well.
Yeah.
Not to make mistakes with your guitar or sing the wrong note. Oh, no.
Jeez. It's like Joe Jackson and Michael Jackson kind of thing. If you screw up, you know, I mean, he...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
was
he was very aggressive and beat the kids, and he was just a horrible father. But, you know, it definitely got him on point, because if he messed up or did not do a bit, you know,
right.
he was a very a perfectionist, too, as he got older. He was just like, as we thought was amazing, you can't be any better. He was perfected on that. He's like, oh, I should have done 20 spins and this and that. You know,
right,
it's like,
right. mm-hmm.
so I don't know. But yeah, definitely don't listen to that guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, our early teachers really do form us. And
mm-hmm.
I know when I was in my early 20s, I got a gig with this amazing pianist who was half Scottish and half Argentinian. And oh my goodness, such passion. And the man played just this amazing jazz piano. He could play anything. And he got us a gig at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., 6 nights a week. And I had never sung, you know, that material, like, the Great American Songbook and, you know, all the French and everything. It was like, okay. And I had to learn it all in 3 weeks,
wow.
an entire, like, you know, a whole catalog of songs in 3 weeks. And so I would go and rehearse with him. And if I couldn't sing the song a cappella, he would say, go home.
Whoa.
I'd be like, what do you mean? He goes, no, you don't know the song, go home. And he wouldn't rehearse with me unless I was able to sing the song a cappella, because he's absolutely right, and I'm so glad that he was so tough.
Right.
Because if you're not tough, then your standards are lax, and the higher and greater your standards, the better your chances are of actually achieving them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have lower standards, then, well, you know, you're not going to go very far.
So yeah.
I think it's great to have high standards, and it was a fabulous lesson, and I do rehearse in my head now as a result. I don't necessarily need any instrumentation. I just hear the song in my head, and if I can sing it, I know I can sing it with any instrumentation.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And what would you say were some of your inspirations or early influencers?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Definitely Judy Garland, but definitely Elvis Presley. I mean, good night, nurse. What an incredible singer.
You know, we have a friend who used to date Elvis Presley.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
She starred in a movie with him, and then after that, they dated for a while. And I have a picture.
She's adorable. Yeah, she comes to our gigs,
nice.
Too. Yeah, she's so cute and so full of life, you know.
That's fascinating.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot to mention Lou Rawls also played my guitar.
What about Lou?
He played my guitar too.
Oh, well, yeah.
Now, I mean, are you saying that they just kind of jammed and just played your guitar, or this guitar has been in the hands of these musicians and then passed on to you?
No, they...
It's a very old...
My guitar has... I have run into these people.
Gotcha.
Neil Diamond, Neil Young.
During your career.
Yeah.
And that guitar was handpicked for him. So he was the first one to ever play it, and that is his guitar. And as I say, most of the time, I'd say 9 times out of 10, he takes it out of the case and it's in tune.
Wow.
Oh, it's an incredible guitar.
But C.F. Martin Sr., that's a Martin guitar. And C.F. Martin Sr. picked that guitar out for Bruce.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm, and gave it to him.
Jose Feliciano, I was on tour with him. And we were, he was opening for us, if you can believe that. And then, wow. Light My Fire.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, we're opening for him.
Wow.
That's what a hit song will do. You only need one hit song, you know.
Yeah.
Just one.
And of course, Jose, boy, can he play.
Yeah.
He sure can. I know.
And I know that you also, you sing in French.
I do.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui, oui. Well, I lived in France for many years. My dad is buried with
have
full,
some. Really. Yes, it's very delicious.
Yes, it's eatable shakers.
I thought it was a musical instrument. Yeah, yes.
It is.
But my dad is buried with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery, and so it was military. And so, you know, we were constantly traveling around all the time when I was little. And, you know, it was crazy just like every 2 years to be in a different place. And I don't know how the teachers and the educators and the choir directors and everything, they'd find out that I could sing and always, like, put me in the show. And, you know, I'd always be out there in the front. And I'd be like, how do they know, you know? I mean, now that I think about it, because I was just a little strange kid coming to the school, how did they know? I don't know how they knew. They always knew.
If strange means sexy, beautiful, and talented. Yeah, another strange kid here, talented, beautiful.
That should be a song title.
Well, yeah, I'm working on a song now.
Yeah?
Somebody up there must like me. And I know that it must be true. Oh. Somebody up there likes me, because here I am with you.
Yes. That's you stole so those great. From me. I wrote that. No, I was kidding.
Well, he got that out of you.
I hate to have to kill a man before midnight.
And Pamela, what is what would you say some of your writing process when you write?
Well, when I write, it's literally just like more like a download. And my favorite place to write is traveling in the car by myself. I've gone across country a couple of times by myself. And to me, literally driving across the great, you know, open wide plains is the best place to hear, because it's all about being able to hear and being able to download, because it's not so much I don't necessarily want to manufacture something as much as I want to allow something to come through me.
Hmm.
You know?
So in other words, you would you say you let the song write itself?
Yeah. That's it.
Well said.
That's it, yeah.
The song comes through her. Mm-hmm. That's the way I do it too.
Yeah.
I came up with something just the other night, and you better write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you won't see it again.
Yeah.
I always have a little recorder on my phone, and I just always record some ideas. If it's lyrics or something, I'll just record it because I'll forget it.
He'll even record in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He'll do that. That's
Are great. You the playing guitar in the bathroom too?
No.
That's most of my greatest songs, I feel, was in the bathroom, believe it or not. Like my hits that I haven't got out there yet, but well, they're that, hits in my head.
That song you wrote, Terror of the Tiles.
Yeah.
That one rung a bell with me.
Yeah, yeah. Gently squeeze.
Yes.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Flush all your negative energy.
That's right. Yeah. Flush me lightly. Yeah.
No. Well, speaking of French and French lyrics, and by the way, have you written any songs in French?
Yes. Yeah. I actually got hired to do that. And I didn't know that I could do it. You know, I mean, I'd sort of toyed around with it. But when somebody offers you money and a goodly sum to do it, mm-hmm. it's like you really step up to the plate. And I did. And it was really, really cool. recording them, writing them. And what had happened was she presented me, her name is Lindsay Tomasik, and she has her own recording studio, and she has her own like record company and stuff.
Wow,
amazing.
That's cool.
Musician too, and friend of Dave Perlman, who's a dear friend of ours, incredible musician. And Dave was the one that had referred me to Lindsay. And yeah, and they're licensed through Warner Chappell Music, you know, these great songs. If you go on my website, PamelaClay.com, you can actually get them. And I recorded Au Clair de la Lune, which of course everyone knows, but I did it Au Clair de la Lune, you know, like that.
Yes.
Because it was for a romantic album. It was for National Geographic, and that was Barry Fassman. That was his studio.
I grew up in New Orleans, and of course, I'm one quarter French, one quarter Spanish, and the other half is Irish and Norwegian. But French, they try to trick you.
Do they?
He does sound like he speaks. You know, the thing about it, when he does that to French people, they go, huh? You know, because they think he's speaking French. You know? But what was really cool was Supernatural used some of the songs that I wrote. They licensed them, and so they were on TV. I always, and it's so cool when you're watching a TV show and you're like, that's me singing in the background.
Really? That's awesome. Yes.
That is awesome.
Nice.
I know. It's really fun.
And I know, Bruce, you have some stories about, I don't know if you want to share them, partying with the Beatles.
Oh. Well, it depends which ones were on radio.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. So, yeah, keep it
PG-13. Keep it clean. That's right.
Well, I was on tour. We had a band that had some hit records, and I was in Copenhagen when we learned we were going to do a command performance for the Queen of England at the London Palladium with Tom Jones, the Beatles, and Dusty Springfield.
Tom Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
So I went, oh, my God, I'm going to play for the Queen and the Beatles and Tom Jones. And so the very next day, we get the word that the Beatles have canceled. Because they've already played for the Queen many times and they were knighted, and that's, you know, they were about ready to break up anyway a year or so later. But we were still going to play for the Queen with Tom Jones, and so I got over my disappointment pretty well. But I got to London and they told us a few places to go, you know, cool, hip joints. And long story short, I went in, I looked around, and there was Paul McCartney sitting there with
Jane Asher.
Jane Asher and...
I don't know if it was Steve Jobs. I don't think so.
Could have been Steve Jobs. So. But, I mean, who cares? I was looking at Paul McCartney. And so, you know, the music was loud, and he was obviously there to hear this band. And I came up, you know, from behind him. I said, I had to yell over the music. Said, excuse me, Mr. McCartney. He jumped up. Oh, I said, pardon me. My name is Bruce Mitchell. I'm the Christian Mitchell. You were supposed to play for the Queen with us, but you guys canceled.
Oh, my God.
And I'm yelling, and he looks up at me. And then I said, oh, my God, I remembered that the reason I came over here is because our road manager was their road manager during their American tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some incredible stories about the Beatles.
And photos.
Wow.
Yeah. And it knocked my socks off. And then I said, oh, yeah, our road manager was your road manager, your American tour, Sandy Scott. And I'm yelling over the music. First thing McCartney says to me, he has to yell too. He said, no, he wasn't. And I was in shock because I saw pictures. And then I remembered he wasn't their road manager. I don't know if I should
well,
say
no,
this.
Don't say it. Don't say it, because the thing is that the people that are associated with us are still with us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not saying anything derogatory.
Well, you know.
The anticipation, everyone's...
To be continued.
The thing is that the road manager had initiated the band Bruce was in, the new Christy Minstrels, and the Beatles in the same way, and the initiation was very blue.
Gotcha.
And that's why we're not going to go into detail.
No,
so Bruce had to mention the fact that he'd been initiated by Sandy Scott. And then, and that's when Paul went, oh, Sandy.
Sit down. And I sat down and talked to Paul McCartney for
he
half an
sweet,
hour.
Sweet, very sweet.
That's cool.
Well, on that note, we are going to hear some ba-dum.
All right, this is some Edith Piaf.
Yes.
And padam padam is the sound that you hear in your head and your heart when you're trying to get away from those bad love affairs and you just can't get away and that sound is driving you crazy. Padam padam.
All right, let's take a listen.
And this is Jeff Lass on the piano.
Jeff Lass,
L-A-S-S.
On the piano, yeah?
Wonderful Jeff, yeah.
C'était qui m'obsède jour et nuit. C'était n'est pas né d'aujourd'hui. Il vient aussi loin que je viens, traîné par 100 000 musiciens. Un jour c'était me rendre folle. Sans voix j'ai voulu dire pourquoi. Mais il m'a coupé la parole. Il parle toujours avant moi. Et sa voix couvre ma voix. Badam, badam, badam. Il arrive en courant derrière moi. Badam, badam, badam. Il me fait le coup doux, souviens-toi. Badam, badam, badam. C'est un air qui me montre du doigt. Et je traîne après moi comme une drôle d'erreur. Cet air qui sait tout par cœur. Il dit rappelle-toi des amours. Rappelle-toi puisque c'est ton tour. N'y a pas de raison que tu ne pleures pas. Avec tes souvenirs sur les bras. Et moi je revois ce qui reste. Mes 20 ans vont battre ton bout. Je vois s'entrebattre des gestes, toute la comédie des amours sur cette terre qui va toujours. Padam, 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 des je t'aime de 14 juillet. Padam, 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 des toujours qu'on achète au rabais. Padam, 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 des voitures envoient la pop paquet. Et tout ça pour tomber jusqu'au coin de la rue, c'est l'air qui m'a reconnu. Écoutez le chahut qu'il me fait. Comme si tout mon passé défilait. Regardez le chagrin pour après. J'en ai tout un sauveur. Ce déter qui part, qui bat comme un.
Beautiful. That's my baby.
I love that. I love that song.
That's my baby.
I love how you connect with the audience when we go see you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Yeah, when we see you guys perform and you know just how to connect with the audience. It's so great. It's so refreshing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it's really interesting. I'm always surprised when there are singers that don't seem to care about the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, like I said, when I rehearse in my head, I rarely sing out loud unless I'm in front of an audience. It's just, you know, the way I'm wired, you know. I guess if we were living in a huge house with a huge rehearsal hall or something, but I've just learned, you know, to just rehearse in my head. And so when I get in front of an audience, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for anyone who ever comes to hear me sing. And so I feel like it's my responsibility to connect with them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all alive. And I'm literally singing for you. I'm not singing for me. So, you know.
That's a beautiful way to look at it.
Thank you.
Yes. And that's the way she really feels.
Oh, that's awesome. We're going to go ahead and
Well, real quick, just a quick question. Yeah, before we get to the game, real quick, what are your thoughts about electronic music? I know that's kind of hitting the whole mainstream. Everyone's getting that. Is that something that you would adapt to your music, or are you kind of just...
Well, you know, I've had many different opportunities, and, you know, I have nothing against electronic music.
Right.
It's just that when I grew up, you actually had to be able to play an instrument.
Right.
And now you don't have to. If you have one of these electronic, you know, I don't even know what they are, but it'll play for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fascinating. But I think it's kind of a shame also, too, in a way, because I think that part of what's fantastic and fabulous about art is how each of us has a totally unique expression. And so you're almost, by giving a child something that will play itself, you're denying that child the ability to stimulate his own or her own imagination and discover something.
Yeah,
so I'm
I
not
agree.
Saying it's bad. I'm just saying that... It could be
it might take away
it might prevent someone from learning more, because I think it's all about what are you going to think of next.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's good, well put. I agree wholeheartedly. It's all about the talent itself, and it kind of takes away. But did you want to chime in on
that? Yeah, what do you think, my love?
And we had a good friend for 40 years, Lou Rawls,
mm-hmm.
3 Grammys, a dozen hit records, toured the world. He was one of the best singers I ever heard. And somebody asked him, what do you think about rap music?
Oh.
He says, rap music, yeah. I'm just waiting for the music part.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to play a game real quick with you.
Cool. We're going to play a game.
Yeah. We call it the Chameleon Kazoo Karaoke.
Oh, boy.
It's the KKK game.
Okay.
Here we go. Of fancy version. Yeah,
yes,
it's better.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Not racist at all.
No. No. The good kind.
The good kind, of course.
Yeah.
So how this works, I have this kazoo.
Okay.
And I'm going to play some songs, and you just have to tell me, both of you can chime in and tell me what kind of song it is.
Right.
You can get the artist or the song title. Either one will work for me. If you
All
get
right.
it wrong, she's going to shake that.
Okay.
You get it right, you're going to shake that.
All right.
And she'll be in control of that.
Okay.
All right. First one.
Okay.
It's familiar. I just
play it again.
Okay, you got me. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Shake it. Tom Petty, running down the street.
All
Come
right.
on, man.
Well, you see,
running
in
down
order for
a
me
dream.
To guess what song that is, you had to say, you know, little notes that somehow synced up with the song.
Right. How dare you? No. All right, you guys are going to get this one.
I love Tom Petty, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to get this
and your
one.
Your guitarist, the Emperor.
Yes, Lindsey Gillis plays a fine Tom Petty and a fine and Floyd sings Running Down a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of our very few covers.
All right, second one, real quick. I think we only have time for one more.
One more kazoo song?
Yeah,
because
we got to run through.
Okay.
All right, we got this.
That's familiar.
Good night, nurse. Okay. I don't know.
Here we go.
Oh, you're kidding me.
That was kind of like, right? Yeah, no.
Yeah, you were a little right. off, I think.
Patrick,
all right, last one. Last one.
Okay, last one.
Yeah.
You were just talking about them. There's my hint.
Oh, the Beatles.
There
the
it
Beatles.
Is.
The Beatles. Chicken. Yay!
The Beatles song.
Twist and shout. Twist and shout. Come on, come on, come on, come on, baby, now.
I must tell you, to sit down and talk to Paul McCartney, we talked about writing songs, among other things. And one of the things that I said to him, I said, you know, it comes from everywhere. I'll come up with some music, or I'll hear a melody, or I'll write some lyrics. He says, yeah, me too. I said, what?
Well, you guys get a prize.
We do.
I'm gonna dig in here.
Oh, my goodness.
From our bag of BS, beautiful selection.
Got a roll of tape.
Oh I love that kind of tape. That is, you can never get enough.
You got a shaker.
A shaker. Oh, wow.
And a whistle.
Thank
that
you.
Down.
I will
treasure this. I used to have a little egg, and I don't know what happened to it. And this is much nicer because it came from you.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
It's your 2019 egg.
I love this egg. I'm going to carry it in my purse.
Perfect.
For good luck.
Perfect. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for playing.
We're going to do a jammy jam.
We're going to do a jam now. Now, do you guys have a song in mind you guys want to kind of do? Oh, actually,
sure.
Before we do that, I see some things laid out.
Yes.
Catahoula.
This is Catahoula's second album.
Awesome.
I know. And it's very cool because inside we have, I guess maybe Bruce took it out of the car. Oh, here it is. We have actually inside a fine-looking poster of the band. And then you flip it over, and they're all the lyrics, the wonderful lyrics.
Oh, beautiful.
Lyrics, which stand on their own, even without music. They stand on their own. So that's Catahoula's second album. Then we have Catahoula's first album. And then we have my mostly French chanteuse CD. This has a lot of Edith.
I have that one. Yes.
And then this one, and both of these, Jeff Lass is playing piano. And Jeff is playing piano here. This is my Christmas CD, singing a lot of songs. And I see her, Oh Holy Night, here. I actually sang Oh Holy Night live on German TV when I was 13.
Oh, wow.
Stoken Sie.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Ich kann ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen auch. I can speak a little German.
Oh, that's awesome.
My Piaf show, which I took to Feinstein's 54 Below in New York, which was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Well,
and then here's Vitello's. These are
DVDs
nice. At Vitello's.
So, how much is... Now, I wanted to find out, how much would the second album cost?
The second album, you have to go on the Catahoula website, don't you?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what Bobby is
Bobby
is in charge. I'm in charge of the Pamela Clay business, and Bobby is the businessman of the Catahoula business.
I would like to buy here on the spot your second album.
All right.
I'm sure it's less than, I got 20 bucks on me.
Oh, man.
If you want. It's less than that. You guys can take that, and I'll take the second album
here
on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm a big fan of yours, and I love your guys' music.
And you don't even have to take it out of the shrink wrap.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that
I hate the shrink wrap.
The shrink wrap's
I had to kill
it.
Thank you. Definitely go out and buy this album. It is amazing.
It is amazing. It's wonderful, wonderful. Oh, thank you.
And then we'll do a quick jam. We got
a minute quick jam.
A minute quick jam.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and grab an instrument. Do a little.
Got my little.
Oh, there you go.
I've got my egg. I have my egg.
Let's start with Cibon and then go to Red Dress.
You know this. I think we've played Big Mamu with you before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll do the vocal intro.
Okay.
And then we'll go into it.
Beautiful.
Yes.
We got 30 seconds.
We do?
Sorry, yeah.
No, we got a minute.
Oh, it's actually 17:50.
Okay,
all right.
So we do have some time?
Yeah, no.
No time?
Yeah, we gotta wrap it. All right, just a quick 5 seconds. Thank you all for listening to the
Brilliant
Show.
Say bon, baby. Say baby, say bon.
say bon.
Ow! Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.